This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
This is the besotted Pride of West London weekend review podcast. And we've just played Aston Villa. We come up with another good result, 1-1, as it is down at Villa Park. Lovely day as well it was, and it's a lovely day out. I'm Billy Grant, and I'm sitting here with a couple of chums on the weekend review. I've got Dave Laney-Lane in the house. Laney, how are you?
Yeah, really good, mate. Really good. Yeah, had a cracking day out yesterday, which we're going to talk about. So, I'm very upbeat this morning, Bill.
Excellent. That's good news. And also, I've got Ian, the Westbrook, in the house. Ian, how are you?
I'm fine, Billy. Yeah, very good. Enjoyed my day yesterday and loving life in the Premier League so far.
That's good. I'll tell you something. Unbeaten in the Premier League. First goal, actually. Disappointed that we've actually let in the top tier since 1947. But I suppose things could be worse at the time. But look, I'm just going to ask you. I had a great day yesterday at Villa Park. But Laney, what was your main takeaway from the day?
Main takeaway was, once again, we go to a great big stadium, full, big noise. Could be overwhelming for a lot of teams, but not Brentford. We the main takeaway is that we've got our knees under the table now. We are Premier League, and game by game, it shows that we're in the right division. We're, you know, comfortable. We're an intelligent team. We're adding some physicality to it as well. It's in our comfort zone, which is, you know, as fans of a club that's just got promoted, it's just kind of very, very reassuring to see that your team aren't out their depth. And that's my coming away from the game once again, I'm just full of pride.
Where does Aston Villa sit? Because this is our third game. We still don't know because we played lots of games. I mean, if you listen to the post-match podcast, Pride of West London, lots of good conversations on there, including Villa fans. So definitely check that out. But sort of where do they sit, do you think? Because obviously there's a big crowd there, big noise. You know, we could have been intimidated, but also the football itself. And where do you think this sits in the table as an Aston Villa? As to what we've got to compete against?
It's a very good benchmark. I say there's a lot of teams that are similar in terms of threat and quality. Villa have probably got better players than a lot of teams that will finish probably higher. Villa aren't the same team without Jack Grealish, it's clear. He's world class, he's exceptional. It fell right for us not to have a Jack Grealish Aston Villa this season. But you know, he probably would have provided the added bit to add the extra goal that would have probably won it for them. So yeah, I think they're one of the most attacking, exciting teams to watch, full of talent and flair and threat. And for us to come away with a point and having given them such a good match, I think it's we can be rightly very pleased of where we're competing.
Ian, what did you take away from that match?
Similar to Dave, really. I think in each game this season so far, we've not looked out of place in the Premier League. It's as if we've been building up for this. We've come in, we look like a Premier League team. you know, apart from the last sort of 15 minutes yesterday, didn't really feel we were in danger of losing. They didn't put us under any particular spell of pressure. Yeah, they had a couple of players out. They didn't have John McGinn, obviously, and Ollie only came on for the last 15, 20 minutes. You know, I was thinking, looking at the fixtures, looking at these first three games before the season started, obviously Arsenal, big team, but Villa away, probably the hardest of the three, because they are going to be a top 10 team this season. And I'd hope beforehand, if you get a point, that would be a great result. And I think we deserved a point yesterday. Yeah, that, you know, again, they finished the game stronger than we did, which we'll talk about a bit later. But overall, I think getting a draw at Aston Villa, not many teams are going to do that this season. I think we definitely came away with it deservedly.
It's interesting because you talk about the Villa fans we talked to on the post-match podcast. They were actually a little bit gutted that they got a point to Brentford, I think mainly because we'd just come up and they'd been there for a couple of seasons. So they were a little bit disappointed with their team. But overall, they actually thought it was a good match and we played a good game. For me, the main takeaway actually was the defence. It actually really struck home to me what a really good defence we've got. You know, I was looking at that defence and I was thinking they actually don't really put a foot wrong. Hardly put a foot wrong in the whole game. In all the games that we've played so far, you know, there's been a couple of mistakes here and there, but we seem to have corrected them. But yesterday, they didn't put a foot wrong. I mean, obviously, we had a situation where Buendia scored that goal, which you can argue if that's a defence or argue whether or not it should be the midfielder closing that down. But in general, the way that they stroke the ball around, the way that they're so commanding, Ethan Pinnock, I mean, I think he's fantastic. So for me, I'm actually taking great sort of pride and also confidence in the fact that our defence is one that we can actually really, really rely on. But I mean, just talking about, I mean, our defence, talking about our team, you know, which Brentford player caught the eye of you, Ian?
For me yesterday, it was Saman Ghoddos. I think people, when he's had a bit of stick from people, I sat in front of someone at the Forest Green game who slagged him off every time he touched the ball. But I think that was his best game in a Brentford shirt yesterday. He looked confident. He won tackles. He played some good passes. I know he got subbed, which I was a bit disappointed about when he went off. But he came in for Frank the Tank. I think he did a really good job yesterday and really imposed himself on the game. And that's promising for the future.
And Laney?
Yes, Saman Ghoddos was just excellent yesterday. And, you know, Ian's right. That was his best game in a Brentford shirt. And hopefully that's the standard now we see. He was, again, he put some big tackles in. He read the game very well. He was in the right place at the right time. So I won't echo exactly Saman Ghoddos. I will go for Vitaly Janelt again in that case, because I thought again, you know, for every bit as good as Ghoddos was, so was Janelt. He was literally everywhere. He was right at the back, putting last ditch challenges in. He was right at the top of the field, sort of in the last 10 minutes, chasing the ball down and sort of buying some seconds, and kind of pen Villa into their corner of their own sort of half. Yeah, he just grows. He's a phenomenal sign. You can't say it enough, you know, just what a signing he is. You know, I think we're going to get bored of saying that. So yeah, Vitaly Janelt, take a bow again, mate.
And marks out of 10 for Janelt, Laney?
Oh, 8 or 9. I mean, I'd give him 8. I mean, he didn't score a goal. So yeah, and 8 out of 10.
Ian Ghoddos?
Yeah, I'd give Ghoddos an 8 out of 10 as well. I think really good.
Okay, and for me, I mean, we talked about it during the game, Laney. I mean, Ghoddos, you know, really surprising the way that he's come on. So for me, Ghoddos was a key player as well. And we talked about, you know, how important those two players are as well. I'm going to actually pick out Ethan Pinnock for me in defence, because the defence is so important to us this season. I think it's a bit unfair, but we've talked a lot about a year before, and also Pontus Janssen, I thought, had a really great game. But Ethan Pinnock, I thought, I'm looking at him, the fact that he's more and more comfortable on the ball, willing to take the ball, run the ball out, actually even turn players, turn the other way around, go up the wing, pass the ball up to Rico Henry as well. Comfortable in the air, winning everything in the air. I think he's a tremendous player. 9 out of 5 out of 10. I'm going to give Ethan Pinnock, because I'm so happy with him, like, you know what I'm saying? No, which is all good. So look, talking about the opposition though, a danger person for the opposition. Laney, anybody for you?
Yeah, again, I don't think any of them had a particularly excellent day. They weren't at the top of their game, but you know, Danny Ings, he's a classy striker. He's you know, again, just solid, and always a threat. And we did brilliantly to sort of snub him out a lot of the time. There's a couple of fouls we did on him we got away with. He was the guy that fed the ball into Buendia. So yeah, he reads the game. Villa are lucky to have him. He's always going to score goals at the top level. So yeah, Danny Ings, I was always worried that with him around the ball, on the ball, something's going to happen. So he was the one for me.
And Ings, give us marks out of 10?
Probably only a 6 or a 7 in the end. But, you know, I thought for the assist, because he wasn't greedy, he didn't try and work some space for a shot himself. He did the right intelligent ball, and then Buendia produced his brilliance. So, yeah.
It was a great 1-2 as well, wasn't it, that he did actually on the wing there with, I think, was it Matty Cash? I'm not sure who it was actually on the wing there. But he did, El Ghazi, I think it was. He did a 1-2 with El Ghazi.
I'll give him 7.
Okay, 7 out of 10. The thing about it is, I'll say, is that for Ings, I mean, he's a good player, and I was worried about him. In a strange way, I sort of noticed him, but didn't notice him, because we did keep him under wraps. And I think he actually only had one shot, I think, or maybe two at the moment. I think he only had one shot as well, which was saved by Raya. Really good save as well, which is, you know, we'll probably talk about a little bit later. But other than that, I thought we kept him under wraps. Ian, your thoughts?
For me, actually, it was Ollie Watkins, because once he came on, he had two chances, decent chance that Raya saved in the last 15 minutes. You're right, I think Ings had a good game, but just had that one first half chance. And we sort of snuffed them out, and Villa were having trouble getting through and creating much, I thought, in the second half. But Ollie did make a difference. He had that header, which he probably should have done better with, but it was a good save by Raya. And he had a shot at the end as well. And I thought he was the person who looked like actually turning the game for them in sort of the closing stages.
Again, it's interesting, because you're not wrong, because again, Ollie Watkins, when he came up, he did definitely take it up a level for them as well, where there's a question mark, and we'll probably maybe talk about that a little bit later, about us and, you know, our sort of kind of final 15 minutes of the game as well. But also probably just goes to show you what type of player he is and what he can bring to Aston Villa. I mean, he was definitely a threat, even though he wasn't on for very long, and I was probably very glad he wasn't on for the full 90 minutes.
Yeah, and you know, I thought the reception that we gave Ollie was just about the right level. A polite standing clap, but not singing his sort of name that might sort of raise his game more. Yeah, exactly that. So yeah, I thought the Brentford fans once again were incredible. We'll talk about them in a bit.
So Ian, just what marks out of 10 for Watkins?
I give him 7. I would have given him 8 if he scored. Luckily, he didn't score. So I give him 7 for the impact he had in that short time.
Yeah. And for me, you know, Watkins is there on my list as well. Matty Cash is actually a player on my list. And I found it hard to choose between Matty Cash and Emi Buendia. I mean, I thought Emi Buendia, you know, for the goal that he scored, incredible goal, picks the ball out, turns around away from goal, turns and puts in the back of the net. Somebody should have closed him down. The XG on that was only 4 out of 100. So 4 out of 100 of those shots normally go in. So it just goes to show you that could have, you know, at any other time gone over, or the keeper would have saved it, but it didn't that time. You know, well taken goal, but also he was really good in what he did also. In the backup work that he did as well, Buendia. You know, he did a lot of, you know, grafting. He worked a lot with Matty Cash as well, sort of kind of interchanging and working with him. And I just thought, actually, he is a good player. And you could see when he was at Norwich and he was in the side, they were a good side. When he was out of the side, they weren't a good side. And he didn't play for the full 90 minutes, which is probably good for us as well. He was in and out, and maybe not quite as fit and not quite knowing the Villa team, but you can see he's a good player. But Matty Cash as well was another player who... Just pointing him out as well. And I thought we did reasonably well in keeping him at bay. But if you did notice, he was the one that actually kind of provided the deflection for the goal. So he kind of came careering in with no one stopping him, running into the area from midfield. And Rico Henry looked at him, and then he ran over to him, thinking they were going to pass the ball to him, which Buendia thought, I'm free now, and banged the ball in the back of the net. So it was actually quite clever play by Cash there. So I've been cheated a little bit by pulling them out, but Emery Buendia I thought was really good. But stinker of the match, I'm going to ask you guys, because this is always quite an interesting... Emery Buendia, I gave 8 out of 10 for that as well, by the way. The stinker of the match, guys, tell me, Ian, what was your stinker?
I thought it was quite hard, actually. I was going to say being last on match of the day again, but probably in looking at the game, probably not holding on to the lead for a long time. Having taken the lead, you know, it was only sort of 5 or 10 minutes. We didn't sort of build on that. We let them back into it quite quickly. You know, it was a great start to the game, great finish. We'll talk about the goal in a bit. But, you know, if we'd held on to the lead maybe for 20 minutes, half an hour, it might have been a different story, but that's probably my stinker.
My stinker is going to be the referee. I thought he missed important decisions for both teams. Obviously we've got our rose-tinted glasses on and we're only going to kind of want our team to do well out of decisions that he makes. But I think he missed a pretty, I won't say bad foul, but, you know, Wiese kind of took Ings out in the second half and he just waved play on. And we were like, great, but it was definitely a foul. Wiese had already been sort of got away with one like seconds after coming on. I thought Wiese's, he was tripped in the area. He was touched in the area. It was right in the corner of the two lines where they meet, right on the edge of the box. But last season, that's a penalty, and it was a clear trip. And I would say this season that's a clear penalty as well. So the referee, I think he missed big calls during the match. So he's my stinker.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about this again during the game. And for me, and tell you something just quickly, Ian and Lainey, give us your scores out of 10 for your stinkers.
He's a great big stinker. He can have an 8 as a stinker.
I'll probably say maybe 6. I mean, I don't want to slack us off. It was another good performance. But just if we'd held on to the lead, maybe as I said, for 20 minutes, half an hour, things might have been different. So,
yeah. Okay, and for me, and again, with Lainey, we discuss this a lot. It was a ref for me as well. And I've actually given him 4 out of 10. You know, I thought that it's interesting because during the game, you kind of got out of the stage of sort of kind of slagging them off because you just turned around. And said he's just actually just not very good. You know, it's one of those ones where, you know, sometimes people make mistakes. People, you know, do all these, you know, these refs make mistakes and stuff. But we just thought actually he's just not very competent. And when you get to the Premier League, you sort of think the refs are going to be more competent than they are in the Championship. It obviously shows it's not the case. And he just wasn't very good. And there was a moment when we were waiting for VAR and the VAR didn't turn up because it was just, you know, they just decided it wasn't going to happen. And there was a penalty that I'm sure that we should have had. Not the one that you talked about. But there was a handball in the area, which I think even the Villa fans actually said, you know, I think it's Courtney House, it might have been, I'm not sure. And the ball was handballed in the area and it looked a dead-on handball and he played on. Was that scenario when he played on and then Mbeumo had a shot that he didn't score or didn't do it, you know, do anything with it, but he didn't go, oh, well, actually, we would have preferred the handball, actually. I'm not quite sure what it was, but there were certainly some really key moments which could have changed the game for us. And as you know, in these leagues, those key moments are very important because chances are few and far between. I mean, you know, in this match, you know, again, if you're looking at stats, and a lot of people hate the stats side of things, but we look at it because we think it's very, very, it gives a real indicator. And it was very tight between the two teams. I think Brentford were like 0.97 and Villa 0.81. You know, we both created two very big, you know, big chances, you know, in the, and then other than that, they're all very, very small chances, including the goal actually for Villa. That was very small. That was, like I said to you, it was only about 4 in 100, whereas our goal was about, I think it was about 30%, Ivan Toney's goal. You know, that's one of the two big chances that we created. I can't remember what the second one was. I'll remember it in a bit, you know. But other than that, you know, so that's, you need to be able to get these chances to put in the back of the net. I'm going to ask a question though on the stinker front. What do you think of Ivan Toney and his Zulu demonstration? He did a Zulu symbol, the Z symbol, after he scored the goal to the Holt end, right? You know, and obviously Birmingham City are the Zulus and they're very big rivals with Aston Villa. And to score a goal and then do the Zulu symbol to the Holt end. What do you think of that, Lainey?
Honestly, I think he's a bit of an idiot for doing it, if I'm being brutally honest. I mean, you know, if he whips the crowd up, Who are the ones that are going to get it in the neck outside the stadium afterwards? It's not going to be him, you know. It's going to be us. And I stoking up hooligan rivalry is never going to be an intelligent thing to do. And sometimes I do question some of the things Ivan Toney does sometimes. Just enjoy the moment. Just go crazy and be full of happiness. Don't wind people up. You know, for someone who rightfully is the butt of abuse online, for needless, idiotic goading. I know it's got a racist edge, you know, right, what he receives, and that's, you know, that takes it to a different level. But it's baiting. It's kind of, yeah, it's in the same area, but without the same sort of hate. So I just say, yeah, a bit of an idiot for doing it, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I mean, you know, with Ivan Toney, it's interesting, he made his explanation saying that his agent is a Birmingham City fan, so he did that for his agent. But as you say, maybe he needs to sit down with Peter Gillam and tell him the history of Brentford and Birmingham City, which started off in the 90s and wasn't too clever between the two of us. We really were going at toe-to-toe with each other through the whole of those early 90s. We really did not like each other at all, and they used to come down to our place and give it a right good going over at Brentford, Birmingham City did. And then even early, later on in the day with Harley Dean and his 10 times better thing that he said, you know, when he said Birmingham City were 10 times better than Brentford when he signed for them as well. And I noticed it was Harley Dean was loving Ivan Toney doing the Zulu thing. So he was lapping that all up, like, you know. So, you know, for me, I was a little bit like, Ivan, actually, you need to know your history. So maybe, you know, you should sit down and in between your shooting lessons, you need to sit down and take some history lessons in Brentford history, because that's really important.
Well, maybe he knows the history and just doesn't care, which is, you know, I think he just does what he wants, and I think, you know, there are consequences sometimes.
Yeah, I hear that. But anyway, listen, coming back to that match, key moment of the match for you, Ian.
I thought Ivan Toney scoring his first goal in the Premier League. I think, you know, like last season, he had a slow start. He didn't, I think Millwall away was his first goal. Didn't really have any chance against Arsenal. Had a couple of chances against Palace, and now he scored his goal. And his goal was always going to come. You know, I reckon he's going to score, well, I said at the start of the season, 12 to 15 goals. He's adjusted. He's contributed in every match so far. But to just get that landmark first goal, that, I think, was the most important thing for us.
Yeah, I'm going to echo that 100%. Yeah, I'm not even going to go for something else. I think it's the biggest positive, and that's, you know, that's the thing we need to concentrate on with Ivan Toney, obviously, is his footballing ability. And that was just such an instinctive, perfect finish, and a little flick back from Pontus Janssen that kind of like helped it along, kind of like the skateboard push on the ball that kind of like pushed it into his path. It was just gorgeous moment, passage of play, and for me, that's what we need to focus our minds on, is Ivan Toney's finishing ability, and it will be a great weight off of his mind to get the first one on the board.
All right, and for me, it was actually David Reyes' save against Danny Ings, which was after we'd gone, we went 1-0 up. As we know, then they came back to equalise 1-1. And this came at the point when we could have gone 2-1 down. And I think this was a big key moment for us, because it was a pretty comfortable save. You know, Ings was probably 8 yards out, you know, banged the ball in the back of the area, Reyes went straight down. He didn't fumble the ball, which gave somebody a rebound. He collected it closely, you know, put it to his chest, and then he put the ball out. But for me, that was a moment where if they had scored then, you know, obviously after scoring previously, you hear the roar from the whole tendon and from the whole stadium when they score. I mean, interesting stadium that. I mean, I've been there before when Villa haven't played. When Villa have played, but they haven't played Brentford. So I went there for the West Brom semi-final in the playoffs. And it's one of those games where Villa are really loud when they're on top of it. But when the other team is on top, silence, absolute dead silence. And it's one of those ones where we had silenced them for a period of time. They came back, scored their goal. If they'd scored that second goal, that whole stadium would have erupted, and it could have made it more difficult for us. So I thought that was... and we didn't have a... say by Ivan Toney, we didn't have a Neil Maupay to go against the flow and give it the large, actually, at the Villa end. But, you know... But anyway, we've got that. I'm going to ask you, positives for Brentford, Laney?
Positives, yeah, kind of echoing what I said at the beginning, but yeah, the positives are that you know, we are once again sitting here following a really positive you know, result, going, we are a Premiership football team. Listening to the pundits, not always worth listening to all of them. Sometimes they do speak a lot of rubbish. And, you know, us being last on Match of the Day, as Ian pointed out, was just, you know, another example of how, you know, we are the small fry here, and, you know, we need to earn the right to be sort of on the conscience of the people that kind of speak the most about the game. But, you know, I'm sitting here without any kind of doubt in my mind that we're going to be okay. You know, that might change. It's only three games in, taking nothing for granted still. But we so much is going to have to go against us from here on in for the kind of that vibe to change. We're going to get tough fixtures, but you know, Ian said it. You know, going away to Villa Park is a fixture that a lot of teams in this division are just going to lose. And you know, we didn't. So yeah, that's where on my head's at this morning.
The Westbrook.
So obviously remaining unbeaten, but also I think we've become more professional, more almost sort of shithousery. So last season, for example, the QPR away game when Jensen didn't bring somebody down and QPR scored, and Thomas Frank said maybe we should be doing things like that. Yesterday, Villa had a break in the second half and Norgaard took someone out of the centre circle and got booked. Now, I'm not saying, yeah, you know, you should be fouling all over the place, but that cut out dangerous move, other clubs do that to us. He took the booking and we've learned from some of the sort of the dark arts almost that other clubs do. I'm not saying, as I said, I don't want us to be a negative team and get this reputation, but we're doing what everyone else is doing to us. You know, Ethan Pinnock walking over to take the long throws in the second half, you know, just running the clock a bit like that. So we're learning how to compete with other teams who do this sort of thing, becoming more professional on the pitch. And I think that really showed yesterday with those incidents.
That's interesting because the Villa fans were really not happy as well. They're not happy in the stadium, but I also got a couple of messages from a few of my Villa fans, the Sutton Villains as well. I haven't replied to them as yet, but they came back and they're just saying to me, I thought Brentford were a footballing side, but actually, you know, you're not actually. You just learned how to run the clock down and just run the game down and you weren't playing football. I'm very disappointed with you. And I thought, let me just come back to him on another day on that one. But I was just sort of thinking, look, you know, the amount of years that, you know, we've had this done against us, but is it a case of game management? You know, and you learn how to manage a game. And Villa really needed the 3 points that time and they couldn't work their way around it. So, you know, we've mixed and matched it up a bit. So I hear that, Ian, on the things to watch out for. For me, I said the things to watch out for is, I said the positives for Brentford actually are the fact that it's Godos's performance. Because we've had big question marks about Godos, you know, even myself, everyone has, but big question marks as to how does he fit in? Where does he fit in? If he's in your side, you're a little bit like, I'm not sure about that, you know. And he came in for Frank the Tank Onyeka, who obviously, you know, that I love, and he's got proper energy. But he didn't let us down. He didn't let the team down, didn't let anyone down. He was not only was he tackling and he was pressing, but also he was shooting, he was laying people off. So he was actually, he really had a fabulous performance, Godos. So for me, that was a big positive for the Bees. I'm going to ask you, things do you think that we need to be a little bit nervous, need to watch out for? Laney?
The racking up of yellow cards, I'd say it's something we need to be aware of. I'm not saying we need to play like angels and not get stuck in. It's good to take a yellow. As you said, you know, Norgaard's taking someone out on exactly on the hour, 60 minutes, he got his yellow card. We are probably going to get someone sent off, another referee. You know, we're a nice team, we're a polite team. I don't think we give the referee too much grief in his ear, so we probably won't get too many for dissent, but it's just going to be this sort of like niggly fouls that break up attacks. You know, we got three yellows in 15 minutes yesterday. You know, Tony, Yanel, Norgaard. Tony was a little bit probably fortunate. He kicked. Was it Ashley Young in the head when he had his foot high? I mean, he did get the ball. He got made contact with the ball, but you know that was dangerous play. Another referee who's slightly more contentious or card happy would have given that a red, and we certainly don't need to be losing Ivan Toney for matches that aren't due to injury. That'd be like a self-induced one. So yeah, so I think the yellow cards, take them. You know, I've got no problem with our players taking yellow cards, but only ones that you need to. No silly ones. That's the thing I'd look out for.
The Westbrook.
One thing I've noticed in every game so far this season is that once we make the substitutions, we look weaker. And I think that's been, particularly the end of games, whether it's our strength in depth. I know we've got players come back from injury, but certainly yesterday, Villa finished more strongly than we did. Ollie had those chances we mentioned before. At Palace, they finished the game more strongly than we did. whether we need, you know, I'm delighted we haven't made 15 signings like certain other clubs we could mention. You know, we've signed the right number of players. Maybe we need one more, maybe experienced signing, just because, you know, you look at the bench, particularly when Yanelt goes off, you know, we definitely look weaker at the back. And I just think the side overall isn't as strong when substitutions come on. So,
yeah, you mean, you said that, I'm saying exactly the same thing. And I've been nominated because no one else offered to do the match report this week. So I've actually written up the match report this week. We'll check it out on besotted.com. Should be out by the time this podcast drops. And I said exactly the same thing. You know, when we make the substitutions, we are looking weaker at Palace and also at the Villa game as well. What I put it down to is, I actually put it down to, you know, the question mark, is it we're fitness? Is it a fitness factor? If you check out the post-match podcast, which we did in the stands and also in the pubs afterwards, where we talked to a lot of Villa fans as well, the one thing they said to us is, we really like your side, but we really hope that you don't suffer from lack of strength of depth, because we can see your first team looks all right, but you have to make sure that, you know, when you've got strength of depth. So when you bring players off the bench, you're looking all right, because that's what's really going to kill you in November and December and January when the season's like really old. So a lot of people have warned us about it. Hopefully the club, well, they should know about it. But that's a score. So I sort of kind of, I go with you there on us being weaker with the subs. I'm going to put it down to fitness at the moment with a question mark about the squad. But it was a great day yesterday and the away day. Lainey, talk to me about your away day. What did you enjoy and what did you not enjoy about that away day?
I really enjoy my trips to Villa Park. We've not lost there, which helps. We've come away, you know, upbeat, buzzing sometimes. The pub we use, the Barton Arms, is brilliant, gorgeous. Fans in there, they're knowledgeable and they chat to us. I thought the travelling up and back, it was a bit of a nightmare, but it ended up being perfect.
Was it a nightmare, yeah. Lainey?
Well, the train company cancelled the 9 o'clock train out of Marylebone, the one we were booked on. So obviously once you've got a change of plan, you have a change of mindset. So you go for the next one, you know, 10 o'clock or another way of getting up there. I took and then all of a sudden they put it back on again, and so I missed it. So, you know, it's that was just really confusing and not ideal. But I think Villa Park is probably, in my mind, the best football stadium in the country. I think it's just stunning, and the noise that comes out of that place when the fans are on song is incredible. Villa's is always right up there for me. Yesterday I thought was another 8 out of 10 away day for me.
Ian?
I love Villa Park as well. I think it's a fantastic stadium, and to see us playing in front of a 40,000 crowd in a ground like that, we really have arrived in the Premier League. That's what it's all about, playing in these games. There's so much history there. The atmosphere is always great there. And as any, we haven't lost there. So I really like going to that stadium. I wasn't on the train, I was on the car, and I spent too much time sitting in queues on the M6. But other than that, the whole day was great, really good, enjoyed it.
And Lainey, marks out of 10?
Yeah, 8 out of 10.
And the Westbrook?
Yeah, I'll give it 8 as well. Yeah, really good place to go.
Yeah. And for me, I mean, I echo that as well. Villa Park is a good away day. Again, if you've not been there, I mean, I know a lot of people have, but if you've not been there, again, for us, we're quite old school, you know, Brentford, in what we like with our away days. We don't like soft seats and we don't like, you know, lovely programmes. We just like to go to a city, which is welcoming. To go to pubs before the matches are welcoming, to mix with away fans are welcoming, to go to a stadium that's got a bit of character and has got a bit of atmosphere, because that normally gets the opposition fans going. So if the home fans are singing, then it gets us going as well. And also have a half decent game, that normally helps as well. And the fact that we've played at Villa Park, this is the fourth time that we've played them, and I said it's four draws out of four now. Villa Park, three wins out of three at Griffin Park, and they're coming to New Griffin Park soon, but that's four out of four, so that also helps. The pub beforehand, you know, great pub, bit of Thai food, meeting up with all these faces, Villa fans, totally, you know, great, you know, great. You know, the away end, I thought the singing in the away end was tremendous. It was better than Palace, actually. I think because Palace, you're enclosed in, you can't sort of, the roof, it kind of causes problems, and psychologically it's quite not quite the same. So we're singing in fits and starts, whereas Villa, even though it was very hot yesterday, I thought the away end was really good. The singing was really good. And it got to the stage where the Villa fans, when we started baiting them and started talking about the Jack Grealish, you know, he left because he wasn't very good. And then they started saying that Ollie Watkins left us because he weren't very good. But towards the end of the game, the Villa fans just stopped singing. You know, we carried on singing, and I think they were so disappointed that they were kind of conceded 2 points against Brentford. They just stopped singing, so we kind of had the back end of the game, and I thought that was great. But brilliant stadium, as you said. We said all these things before, and for me, I'll give that a good old 8 out of 10. And like I said to you on the post-match podcast, the Villa fans, who were totally honest, and they said exactly as it was, and they gave us lots and lots of props, and actually said that they hope that we stay up because they'd actually quite like to see us in the division next season. So that, I thought that was quite promising. So listen, guys, just give us a summing up, a little brief summing up, Laney.
We've got through to the international break and we're unscathed, undefeated. That was the most important thing. We points on the board and probably a couple more points than we probably would have thought or hoped for, if we were honest. If we'd had a whip round or a straw poll on the podcast and we said how many points would you be happy with in the first three games, we probably would have said 4. A win, defeat and a loss. We probably would have been expecting that. The thing is, we've got 5 and we're unbeaten, and I think that gives you incredible confidence. You know, Norwich City will be just down in the dumps on and off the pitch, I'm sure, at their start. Lost again yesterday at home. They've had 2 home games and they've lost 2. You know, we've had only 1 home game yet, and we've got a big one against Brighton to look forward to. Brighton lost their first game yesterday, so psychologically that shows they're, you know, more fragile than they were. So yeah, I think it's just getting through to that first 3 notched off and a kind of reassessing and then getting ready to go again.
Marks out of 10 for the whole experience then, Laney?
10. 10 out of 10 so far. 10 out of 10.
Excellent. The Westbrook.
I think it's been what a tremendous start. You know, 5 points out of 9, only 1 goal let in, unbeaten. It's more than you could have dreamed. You know, first we're in the Premier League, which you could never have dreamed of. And then to start like this, it's tremendous. Really enjoyed every minute of it so far. And we're in a run of games at the moment. Palace, Villa, and then Brighton and Wolves against not ordinary teams, but, you know, teams who aren't going to be up in the top 6. And then we've got that run of 4 games, Liverpool, West Ham, Chelsea, Leicester against teams who might be in the top 6. So it's important we keep picking up points, as we have done in the next couple of games as well, because we may at some point go on a losing run against the top teams. So we're going to have a cushion of points. If that does happen, we're not going to suddenly drop into the bottom 3. I just think the whole thing has just been really, really good so far. Thoroughly enjoyed it, and long may it continue.
And overall marks out of 10?
I'll give it an 8. I don't give anything 10, sorry, that's just me. I think 8, it's been great.
Okay, and for me, I mean, you've said it all, both you guys, you've said it all. I think, you know, I've said this before, but the fact that we've arrived, we look cool and composed, and we look confident. This defence has really, really got me excited. The fact that I can walk into a pub and people go, oh, you know, oh, you know, you guys are relegation. Then you go in the pub afterwards and they just tip their hat to you and say, fair play, you're actually a good side. I think for me, that is a summing up that I don't have to say. The fact it's coming from other people actually makes me feel really proud. So for me, the summing up is that other people are noticing Brentford and giving us the props. Not everybody yet, because obviously they've still got us as the last team on Match of the Day, but, you know, that will come as long as we continue doing what we're doing. You know, that will come further down the line. So I'm going to give it, as an overall, still, I'm going to give it an 8 out of 10, because I still think we've got things to work on. But considering it, where we could have been, I know Laney said that, you know, the points that we could have expected before, I actually think that, to be honest with you, I would have said if we can get a point from Villa and a point from Palace, and Arsenal would have beaten us at the time, you know, before the season started, that for me is where I was thinking 2 points, you know, is what we're going to get, because looking at where Sheffield United were, they didn't get to the points that we're on now till January. I think they're about 18 games in. And even Fulham, you know, they're about 9 games in before they've got, you know, the equivalent amount of points. So that's kind of where it's at for me. So, listen, great. Have a little sum up view. My name's Billy Grant, and I've got the Laney Man in the house.
Good afternoon. Have a nice Sunday. Monday.
Yeah, and we've got the Westbrook in the house.
Yeah, enjoyed it, Billy. Yeah, have a good day.
That's good. So listen, like I said, it's Billy Grant. This week we've got Transfer Day podcast on Tuesday. Don't forget to subscribe to Besotted and also go to besotted.com/beer. You can actually support us and help us out. Thanks to all that's helping out. But listen, we've had a great week. We went to Villa Park. We actually beat them. We didn't beat them. We just drew them. But fingers, we've got the points. We've got more points than we're still up the top of the league. As
come
we
on,
say.
Come on, UBs.
Come on, UBs.
Go, UBs.
Go, UBs.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
And there it is. That's as good as it gets on this stage. Nissan Townstar EV strikes again. It's an unstoppable van. Unstoppable!
Look, just fantastic. You can actually see the ProPilot technology in action. Effortless parallel parking.
It moves with all the confidence that comes with a 5-year warranty.
And with a bench full of all-star van experts, there's real strength in depth here.
That's all-star quality.
Search Nissan Townstar EV and visit your local all-star van centre to see for yourself.
Terms and conditions apply. 5 years or 100,000 miles, whichever comes first.
ProPilot is an advanced driver assist technology. Driver's responsibility to stay alert, drive safely, and control vehicle at all times.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network.
TalkSport. Powered by fans.